If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
We thank you for listening. The show weekly brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com. YouDocs at gmail.com on the email, YOUDOCS at gmail.com, as we run through some of the top medical stories of the week, as we do every week here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Let's talk about some good news, some promising news, and teenagers are getting more exercise and eating their vegetables. That's a good story.
It is. They've gone from eating vegetables 1 to 2 times per week to 4 to 5 times per week, fruit about the same, and gone from about 2 days a week of an hour of exercise, getting an hour or more of exercise, to about 4 days a week. Their body mass index, you know, that's the weight divided by height. If you look at the norms, we're at the 63rd percentile, which means compared to the standards in 1970 and 1980, we're 13% tile. That's about one standard deviation. Now, none of that's very clear. So what it really means is that instead of 33% of teenagers being overweight or obese, it's about 32.5%. So it has, but it's stabilized at that. So it was going up dramatically. So from 1980 to 2005, we more than tripled the amount of obese and overweight teenagers. We've now stabilized that number. So those are all very good pieces of news. Bridget, this is your area of expertise.
I do think that it's good news. The one thing that on the downside that they found is that children that are younger continue to have to be more active and to have better eating habits, and then you see that kind of negative habits kick in as they reach later childhood into early teenage years. So that's really an age group that should be targeted. And also they found from this report that there were racial divides, that the Black and Hispanic adolescents were much further behind the white children, even after accounting for any influence of the socioeconomic factors. So that's also a particular focus group that should be targeted to eliminate any disparities.
Now, for the kids that are eating better and exercising more, what's changing these kids' minds?
Well, that's the hard thing with these kind of reports. They can't find any causation. It just shows an association that they know that it looks like the kids are being more physically active. I personally think that when kids are answering these surveys, that now that there's been such an increased attention to them needing to be more active, that it's going to skew their responses to the surveys and how many fruits and vegetables they're eating and the physical activity, because a lot of times with these kinds of things, people tell you what you want to hear, what they think that you want to hear. You know what I'm saying?
So the numbers aren't, they may not be right?
It's not that they're not right, but it just isn't, it's not necessarily, the report can't find a causation.
So it's kind of a flawed report to a certain extent so far. Anyway.
But it's the best that you can do.
It's an incomplete report because it's impossible to get at the data is what really it is.
And things can only get better, too, when these school lunches get better, I would think, right?
That's exactly right, Joe. And as as Mrs. Obama and everyone else, the American Heart Association, the Clinton Society, the Carter Foundation, et cetera, as everyone has raised the, if you will, awareness of the problem and how great the problem is to the health of the children, I think we're gradually going to get penetration. Now, the big thing is, will McDonald's start promoting and the other food companies start promoting healthy food to teenagers instead of just the promotion of the junk food that many of the companies now do?
Well, that's the question. How do you market healthier food to kids? I mean,
well, it's got to be made so that the food tastes great, and it can be.
Well, it does taste good.
And then what you've got to do is market that, you know, the same way. You have you know, the baseball stars, the football stars, LeBron James, et cetera, all going after great food rather than, you know, and we use the star power and everything else we can to emphasize that the idols have to eat great food. You know, instead of Britney Spears advertising sugared Pepsi, she could be they could be the spokespeople for, in fact, Dasani water or whatever the equivalent
Well, see,
is.
That's the thing about but the athletes do eat healthy, because I remember when Tiger Woods first became professional, he loved cheeseburgers, and now Tiger Woods is an voracious exercise fanatic and eats healthy stuff, and pretty much they all eat healthy stuff. So I think you can't perform at that level if you're eating junk.
Yeah,
right?
I totally agree.
Well,
I mean,
that's obviously,
the thing, they are eating
especially
the right thing.
True in golf, right?
Well, in any sport. I mean, you know.
No,
in any
no,
sport.
But have you changed your eating habits because of Tiger Woods' eating?
Well, it's got to be. See, but the thing about it is, for me, when have healthy foods ever been advertised in a televised sporting event, or you go to the movies and they've got these commercials before you see the movie for about 15 minutes? When has healthy food ever been promoted that way?
Right. Never.
No, that's exactly the point.
Yeah.
And that this article brings out is, when we get to that point, we're going to be much better off as a society. So you're absolutely right, Joe.
Right, getting to that point. See, in my business, I'm in communications, and you know, advertising is a key element of my business, and it's got to be promoted, but it's got to be promoted, you know, on Madison Street through advertising to get it, because that's what people watch. I mean, people watch sporting events. They go to the movies and they see the. You know, they see the commercials before the movies, and that's where it's got to really be promoted. And so far, it hasn't done that.
Yeah, in fact, on your show, the person who sponsors, and I'm blanking on the name, so you'll have to fill it in.
Nature Time.
Nature Time. The woman who owns Nature Time and sponsors the tip of the weeks that we do, or the mm-hmm. tip of the days that mm-hmm. we do, has been a proponent of, in fact, just this, promoting and advertising healthy food. And so we should take our hats off to Nature Time. And I know this show is heard around the country, but and Nature Time, I think, is only in and around Syracuse.
Right, it's a central New York, but obviously there are health food stores all over the country.
I think that other companies are going to be following along behind, especially another news of the week story was about how the First Lady was urging food manufacturers to market healthy foods to kids. And in the speech that she had on, I think, the beginning of the week, she said publicly that she applauded Walt Disney because they banned junk food from their media channels, websites, and theme parks.
That's good.
At the beginning of last summer.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
In fact, we should actually comment on Disney also took out cigarettes from all of their movies. So whatever the movie, mm-hmm. the Disney movies and whatever, they've got another two or three labels of Disney movies. They actually took out all the...
good for them.
The movies that weren't, or the scenes of, if you will, smoking in those.
But I do believe the classic movie Casablanca wouldn't be the same without Humphrey Bogart smoking a cigarette. Although, all due respect to health and everything, I think that's just...
I've never seen it.
I'm being so fun. I'm trying to be funny in this for a second.
Yeah, you know, when I asked, when I gave a talk at Finley University this week.
Uh-huh.
And at least 300 of the people in the audience were college kids, and I asked them how many of them knew of Annie Hall. and not one of them knew of Annie Hall.
I don't know who that is.
The movie Annie Hall. And but they all had heard of Elvis. So some of our idols live on.
Yeah,
the other thing I asked about was Ringo Starr.
Oh, they didn't know.
And they didn't know. Oh. There were three kids out of maybe the 300 who had heard of Ringo Starr.
Wait, was he from the Beatles?
Dr. Mike.
Oh, jeez, Bridget.
Dr. Mike, I weep for the future. That's all I can say. All right, we'll take this break and be back, and we'll talk about revolutionizing your health. Okay, it's called Kitchen Cures, with the author and the expert on you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.